The Walking in Simplicity program is sponsored by Brother Stephen Milhorn of Expounder Ministries and by the listeners who, by their free will offerings, give unto this outreach. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's time now, children of God, children of the King, time to gather round and hear the words of consolation and words of prayer and teaching words from the Holy Bible. Come and join me for a time in the Lord's presence. To God Almighty in the highest, and peace from God, love from God, mighty salvation only by and through Jesus, the Messiah of the Jews, the King of Israel, the Holy One of Israel, the way, the truth, and the life, in which no man, no woman, no person, no one may enter into heaven to be with the Father, but by the Son of God, Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Heavenly Father, we declare that we love you today, and that you are our God, the God of Israel, the God of the Old Testament and New, the Creator, the Lord, the Master, Supreme and only God, who always was, and is, and ever shall be. And your kingdom is both in force now and forevermore. The kingdom of God shall have no end. And Heavenly Father, we believe with all of our hearts that it is you and only you who are supreme, who is God. No other God, no other Savior, no other Creator, no other Redeemer than the God of Holy Scripture, the Holy Bible, the Holy One of Israel. Welcome, my beloved brothers and sisters, to the Walking in Simplicity program. This is your host, Brother Stephen, and with all the current events we're seeing, devastating storms, war, famine, pestilence, trouble in Israel, poverty and violence, immorality all around the world. This is a time not to be cold, not to be lukewarm, but to be hot, to allow God's Spirit and His light to shine forth out of you and out of me. Not to be timid, not to shrink back, but be His light, be His salt on the earth, be that witness, for it is a dangerous thing to be lukewarm. In any hour of Christianity, it is not a good thing, but especially in the hour of darkness in which we live, being lukewarm, shall you not be gathered up with the wicked and tossed into perdition, and then later the lake of fire. My beloved brothers and sisters, this is an hour in which we live in the last days of grace, before the four horsemen of the apocalypse rides, being lukewarm. Won't cut it. You need to be hot for God and for His kingdom and for His assembly, His church. In the book of Revelation, in chapters 2 and 3, when the Lord Himself judges His own people, His own assemblies, His own churches, it was a literal judgment of those churches of that day, but it was also a forward-looking foreshadowing of the different church ages in which we find ourselves now in the church of Laodicea. Let us read about it and about the warning with consequences that the Lord Himself has issued. Keeping in mind, my beloved, we do not have Christianity our way. We do not cherry pick. We do not pick and choose what we shall obey and how comfortable we are in doing what He has said. He wants Christianity done His way, with love and obedience and holiness and forgiveness and mercy and compassion upon the poor, the widow, the orphan, the imprisoned, and the infirmed. He wants His name represented His way. We don't do Christianity our way. We do it His way. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 and onward. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, this is the Lord Himself, the one who judges, the one who the Father has committed all judgment unto, the one who decides who goes to heaven and who goes to the fires of hell. He has said, I will spew thee out of my mouth for being lukewarm. Now, I've heard the story of the two streams of water. Both came down from the mountain. One was cold, refreshing, able to drink water from. The other one was hot and had salt and had other materials in it that were unsavory. And they came together at a meeting point, and the water was tainted and not drinkable, and it became lukewarm. I've heard the story about that, and whether that be accurate or not, that's not the point. The point is, being lukewarm, He will spew thee out of His mouth. So the object here is not where the story came from, but what is the result of lukewarmness. When He says that He would rather you be cold or hot, means He would know easily how to judge. If you are hot for Him, then you are accepted. If you are cold, you are rejected. And if you are lukewarm, there is that mixture that is unsavory, and it is not hot for Him. And even if you want to turn it around and say that the cold water is good to drink, but not the hot, the point is the mixture. He does not want us to be half-hearted, lukewarm, having things our way, and accepting some of His word and casting out the other. We need to be all on board. We need to be all in or not in. So He gives His church this warning in Revelation 3. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, so that way I can judge you easy. Either you're for me or against me. I will spew thee out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And you know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. My beloved brothers and sisters, if you find yourself in a wretched state of pride, self-sufficiency, you are blind and poor to the things of God. You don't have His garments on you, the garments of humility and love and selflessness, especially here in America, where even the middle-class people are considered rich and prosperous compared to much of the world. So what is God's answer to us in verse 18? I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. So in verse 18, He is affirming that we need to buy the gold tried in the fire with all the impurities burnt away. We need to have His white garments upon our naked body so we can be without sin, without shame. And we need the eye salve that only He can give to open our eyes to the things in the spirit and in the natural. Not to focus on ourselves, but upon His kingdom and upon His commandments. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. So if you are being chastened by the Lord, That means he not only loves you, but he's trying to bring you back under his protective covering, refocusing you and I on his kingdom. He chastens us because we have gone astray. Any good parent would chasten their children. And if you do not chasten them, you do not love them. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. So my beloved brothers and sisters, he is the one who draws you under salvation. He is the one who knocks on the door. And if you hear his voice, you have to open the door of your heart to him. For those who are locked into predestination, it says here, if any man hear his voice and open the door, he doesn't compel you to open that door. You must voluntarily, with your free will, open the door. And he will come in and cause you to be born again. And he will sup or dine with you on his word, on his spirit, and on the kingdom. He with you and you with him. He in you, you in him. Verse 21, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now for you modalists out there who do not believe in the Trinity of the Father and the Word and the Holy Spirit, what does it mean when he says, to you who overcome, I will grant you to sit with me, Jesus, in my throne, even as I, Jesus, also overcame and am set down with the Father in his throne. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John, in two places, Jesus, the Word of God, proceeded forth from the Father. The Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of Truth, also proceeded forth and came from the Father. So my beloved brothers and sisters, not being lukewarm, not being cold, but be hot, be all in. If you believe, if you have faith, you do it with all your heart. And with this faith and with this believing, there is action. It produces. Let's go to now in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 34 and onward, where Philip was talking to the eunuch, and the eunuch was reading the scriptures about the Messiah Jesus. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray you, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. For we are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the scripture is inspired of God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. So let us review. The eunuch was reading scripture, so the eunuch was believing what the word said. And when Philip came along, who was directed by the Holy Spirit to go meet him, expounded unto him the more detailed truth about the Messiah, Jesus, and the eunuch was convinced inside of his whole being, and believed, and had faith. And when he saw water, he thought, this was my opportunity to be baptized according to the commandment of God. So he was not lukewarm, he was not cold, but he believed and obeyed and took action. It was not a religion of the mind, but it was a living response of his faith in God. Same thing in Matthew chapter 21, verse 19 and onward. When Jesus and his disciples were walking past a fig tree, and he came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on you henceforth forever. And presently, meaning in that very moment where they could all see it, and witness it. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? And in verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, Truly or verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if ye say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now we know that God operates through his people, but they must operate in full faith, nothing doubting, and it must be according to his will. So when Jesus spoke to that tree, it wasn't producing like it was designed to do. It was cumbering up the ground. He cursed it immediately. It withered up and died in a moment of time. And then he gave an example about the mountain. If the mountain is sitting there but not according to God's will and purpose, then you and I, with full faith, nothing doubting, can speak unto the mountain, and it shall be moved. Not because we have power, but because God is working in us, because his Spirit is in us, and we are doing his will on the earth. And then he goes on to conclude, And all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. The Lord's Spirit is in you and I. When we pray, when we have faith, even the size of a mustard seed, and we believe without doubting, it shall be done, according to not our will, but according to the will of God, who has the power behind our prayers. It is not us, it is him. So this kind of faith and this kind of prayer is not done having a cold or lukewarm spirit, being indifferent, picking and choosing what you shall obey, picking and choosing how you run your life and how much you allow God to run your life. This is what being led of the Spirit is all about. You and I yielding to his will, yielding to his word, his commandments, and yielding to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and our Comforter. And he is the power behind all we do. We are just the conduit. We are just the vessel. He is the one who produces. He is the King of his kingdom. And we are subjects and we are participants in his kingdom. He purchased us and we belong to him. So being lukewarm, my beloved, won't cut it, not only in this hour of trial and tribulation and the end of the age of grace, but throughout all Christendom. Being lukewarm causes him to spew you out of his mouth. In the first few centuries of the church age, they were persecuted, they were tortured, they were fed to lions. They were not lukewarm. They held the light of God. They were the salt of the earth, knowing God, being convinced, being full of faith. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, we're living in the age of Laodicea, self-centered Christianity, prosperity Christianity, happiness Christianity, with an earmark of lukewarmness. We need to have the power of the Holy Ghost. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:13. Many Christians want his power, but why? Why do they want his power? Do they want it to execute their own will, their own desires, their own, quote, destinies? There's so much wrong focus on what it means to be a subject, to be a part of his kingdom, having him be the ruler, and we are the subject. We are the ones who are used by him to accomplish his will. We don't use God to accomplish our will. Our will be done. Our destinies. So much wrong teaching. So we ask the question, whose side are you on? Are you cold? Are you lukewarm, seeking self? Or are you hot, being obedient, being a pliable, yielded vessel? And in Hebrews 10, verse 19 and onward, let us read it. There is a lot to this, but it will help us with our understanding about being lukewarm and how that won't get it for our salvation. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, in order to have boldness, you must have confidence and full faith in believing. And since Paul is giving an imagery here of the high priest going into the holiest of all once a year on behalf of the sins of the people, he's pointing us to Jesus, who by his death and resurrection provides a new and living way that we approach unto the Father by his consecrated blood. Verse 21, and having an high priest over the house of God, meaning Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So my beloved, in order to have a true heart in full assurance of faith means you are not cold or indifferent or even lukewarm where he spews you out of his mouth. But you have a true heart, a faithful heart, an honest heart, in full assurance, meaning you believe what his word says by faith. And that faith is based in facts and reality. And he imputes his blood over our hearts and our minds to wash us from an evil conscience of the sin that we bear in this world and the sin that's in our flesh. And in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So we are to hold tightly to our profession, to our declarations, to our speaking about God, believing in our hearts, not doubting, not wavering, because whatever God says shall come to pass. If he says he will judge, then he will judge. If he says he's going to give you eternal life and rewards, then you can be happy that you will live forever with reward. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And that day approaching, my beloved, is what we're now living in, right before the beginning of the tribulation. And once those 7 years are over, the Lord Jesus returns for 1,000-year reign upon the earth. But here's the warning to the lukewarm in verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. If you are lukewarm and being spewed out of his mouth, are you not considered an adversary? So my beloved, here is a warning to all from God's word, and especially to those who believe in once saved, always saved. If you continue willfully in a sinful lifestyle, not repenting, once you have known the truth of God from the Bible and by the Holy Spirit, there remains no more sacrifice for sins for you, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. Verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. In other words, back in those days, if you sinned a sin unto death, one witness was not enough to put you to death, but under two or three witnesses, you were allowed to be put to death for those sins that were unto death. Verse 29 goes on to say, and this is for New Testament people, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So my beloved brothers and sisters, we are not of those who are lukewarm or cold, who turn away from God and no longer walk with him, who no longer remain sanctified and blood washed. For we know him that hath said, verse 30, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He will judge his people. Revelation 2 and 3. And if you are lukewarm, shall he not spew you out of his mouth? So on down in verse 38, my beloved. Now the just shall live by faith. In other words, if you are justified, walking sanctified, abide in full assurance of faith of what Jesus has done for you. You are abiding in the vine. You are yielding to Him, following Him, obeying Him. This is what it means of those who are justified, living by faith. But if any man draw back, in other words, lukewarm, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So my beloved brothers and sisters, please bear in mind and take to heart the warnings that God gives in Scripture about being unfaithful, about turning from Him and walking away, neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm, partial Christianity, my way Christianity. If you are bought and purchased by Him, then you are His property. You and I are bondservants. We are friends. We do not do our own will, but His will. So my beloved brothers and sisters, we need to pray for all the victims of war, of poverty, devastating storms, and the will of God to be done on the earth, including the outlawing of abortion. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' holy name, we thank You for the overturning of Roe v. Wade. But there are still states here in America who delight in the shedding of the blood of innocent babies in the womb. They delight in it. They lust for it. They want money for it. They do it so they can do more fornication and more adultery. Oh God, we know that You will judge our land for the sin of abortion and legalized homosexual relations, the filthiness of porn, drunkenness, idolatries, cussing, lying. We are a wicked nation that happens to have a few Christians inside, but our government and the American people at large have taken a lukewarm posture. They've turned their backs for the most part, and they have rejected Your authority over their lives. And I know that Your judgment will come, and all I ask, O God, is to remember mercy for Your children and for those who may come to You by Your foreknowledge. Speak to the people of our nation's capital, O God, and convince them of the immoral wrongness of going up inside of a woman and to kill and murder a baby and to bring it out and throw it away, a baby that's made in the image of God, who has a soul, a spirit, a mind, and a beating heart. How heartless it is for people to use instruments to go up and kill and drag out and throw away living babies in the womb. Do not you agree, my beloved brothers and sisters, that our wicked nation is against the will of God? Have mercy, O God, have mercy. And to those who are cold or lukewarm, I admonish you now in the name of Jesus. Come back to God in full assurance of faith, being hot, being all in, because we are near the end. Think hard on all these things, my beloved, and mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Bye-bye. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. The encouragers, problems of the world, were weighing him down. No smile on his face, just always a frown. Trouble at every turn, with no end in sight. Lonely day after day, this was his plight. With fear creeping in and never feeling safe, God sent the encouragers to strengthen his faith. Through family and friends and love from his wife, God's hand at work encouraged his life. Now come what may, his worries depart. God, the great encourager, renewed faith in his heart.
Thank you, my beloved brothers and sisters, for joining me today in the broadcast. If you would like more information about the ministry, you may go to www.expounderministries.com. And remember, God sent his Son that you may live. Believe on him. Hallelujah. God bless you. The time is short, my beloved. Come back to God before it is too late. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Bye-bye.
The Walking in Simplicity program is sponsored by Brother Stephen Milhorn of Expounder Ministries and by the listeners who, by their free will offerings, give unto this outreach.